Okay, the Committee on Energy, Utilities, and Telecommunications will be in order. Members, we have a full day in front of us. We have actually the Energy Omnibus Bill that we're going to be voting on today. We have a bill from Senator Benson, and I have myself a bill, and Senator Ingebrigtsen has a bill. And first of all, we're going to use Senate File 1197 as the vehicle for the Omnibus Bill. And if you remember correctly, that is the that's the bill where it's an OES bill, and it's basically just a department bill, and we moved that, if you remember, back in the day where there was all these OES, the 14th of April. So that will be our vehicle bill that we're going to go ahead and use as our going forward. With that, we have Senator Benson's bill, Senate File 1313, and that's the Conservation Improvement Program Modifications. Oh, Senator Benson.
Madam Chair and abbreviated committee members.
Oh, and by the way, we do have a quorum.
First of all, to the people in the room, I want to briefly state that SIP has much work to be done, and there's been a lot of interest, and I do plan to continue very methodical work to make sure that all the pieces come together into a comprehensive picture for improving the program while respecting its intention. This piece is a small piece, and really Senate File 1313 makes one change, and that is to allow an association to not have to spend the minimum of 1% of their gross annual sales on conservation improvement. It leaves the savings goals in place. In my mind, if you're meeting your goals, you shouldn't have to the objective should be saving energy, not spending money, and that makes much more sense to me in a conservation program. I have been asked to offer an amendment before I move the bill, and perhaps Mr. Fuller could help me with language. On line 1.24, except for a plan of an association, and we would like to include municipal facilities as well.
So, Senator Benson, you would like to put in on your A1 amendment? Or are you doing an oral amendment right
this at
this point?
This is an oral amendment. Well, there is, I apologize, there is an A1 amendment to change one small word, and perhaps we should move that first and then put the oral amendment onto that.
Okay. Members, you should have the A1 amendment in front of you. Senator Benson moves the A1 amendment, and it is an author's amendment. Mr. Fuller, would you like to explain the A1?
You can adopt it if it's an author's amendment.
Oh. All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay?
No.
Madam Chair?
The amendment is adopted.
Yeah. Madam Chair?
Mr. Fuller?
Yeah, this amendment has to do with the minimum energy savings goal. That in the law, there's a goal of 1.5, the SIP law. The current law says you can petition for reduction in that goal down to one, a floor of one, even if the factors that go into that deliberation may have justified a lower number. What this amendment does is provide that 1% floor only applies to public utilities, which is a defined term, investor-owned utilities, so it does not apply to co-ops or municipal utilities. It doesn't mean they can go below one, and it means that the commissioner has authority to allow that if the facts lead to that conclusion. And then the second part of the amendment, changing the to is technical, because it used to refer to a specific reference, which was a 1% floor. Now there's more than one, so that it's just a grammatical correction to ensure that the infrastructure investment requirements aren't affected by, or permission for those investments is not affected. It's not intended to be affected by this amendment in the minimum.
Any discussion? on the A1 amendment?
Already adopted it.
Madam Chair, I'm not finding that on page 2, line 6. Am I looking at the
Senator
correct?
Brown. Energy savings in addition to a minimum energy savings goal.
Thank
on,
you.
On the original bill.
Thank you.
Okay. A1 amendment has been adopted. Senator Benson, you have an oral amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. I would like to amend line 1.24, and I will ask counsel for the correct words, where it says, except for a plan of an association, would it be or municipal electric? If I could have some help with that wording. Electric provider.
What is that? Why is that? Sure. It's Mr. Fuller.
Madam Chair, Senator Benson, I think that's amendments in A1. The move just to the public utilities. So it's been, we deleted that language that shows there now, yeah. Which accepted the associations. And instead of adding the municipals, since it was not only going to apply to the public utilities, that's the language that was used.
I apologize. I did not receive a copy of the A1 amendment.
It's all good. It's all right. Good.
Thank you. Well, then,
Madam Chair.
Senator Magnuson.
Senator Benson, what we did on with the A2 amendment was we struck the new language, so that except for a plan of association, that's deleted then with the A1 amendment. And then we added at the end of the sentence, then it would be of a public utility, and I think the council, as council said, this would help the municipals and the chair.
That accomplishes the goal. Thank you very much.
It's all good?
Yep.
Okay, any discussion? Any further discussion on the Senate File 1313? All those, Senator Benson, would you like to move the bill? Senator DeDipple.
I'm sorry, we're through the amendments, we're on the bill?
We are through the amendment, we're on the final bill.
Okay.
Sorry, you almost missed it, Senator DeDipple.
I was waiting.
So Madam Chair, I mean, of course, everything is relative and, about what's going on in another part of this building on the same subject, this certainly doesn't rise to that level of, mm-hmm. What I would say effectively dismantling our conservation efficiency efforts that have been pretty good over last year. But still, I still am concerned that we're just, I think we continue to fail to grasp, a fundamental around conservation and efficiency. Even Senator Benson, you said earlier, this should be geared towards savings and not spending, and that's the kind of the core pillar that props up, the new approach is that we have cost-effective savings, cost-effective for customers of all classes, and cost-effective for the utilities as well. So cost-effective for the whole entire system, and we're making good progress to that end. And so it just seems like we're kind of knocking out the legs here before we've really even gotten that far down the path. Mm-hmm. Before there's even been, an effort to try. We've heard a lot of concerns expressed, and we had the big round table, and that was great. We're just not far enough, and I know people are worried. I mean, we've heard it all. We don't have to revisit all the concerns, and they're valid and they're legitimate concerns, but I feel like we just simply kind of take this tool away, and, there's no incentive for the munis or the co-ops to really strive and make good faith efforts to do the kind of savings that we think are actually possible and cost effective for themselves and their customers. So Madam Chair, it's less expensive. It's less expensive than bringing on new additional transmission, all that, new additional generation, et cetera, et cetera. It even makes the RES less expensive. Because it's virtual energy, it's actual stuff that we don't need to build in terms of generation and transmission and that sort of thing, and it comes in at a really, really good deal. If you measure the virtual energy, the energy saved as actual energy, it's the cheapest form of energy. It's like the cheapest way to treat an illness is to not get sick in the first place. You know, it's hard.
Senator Benson.
Madam Chair and Senator Dibble, I agree that delaying large infrastructure investments is going to ultimately save the ratepayers in the long term, and that's a good goal, and that is what I see as one of the primary goals of the conservation as outlined in this bill. What we're doing here, you said kicking the legs out from under it. I look at it not as taking away any big pieces, but providing a small measure of relief for those who make a good faith effort and just need kind of that circuit breaker. It gives permission to just say, you know what, you tried, and we're going to give you some relief. And it is smaller than a lot of people wanted, but I hope it puts us on a path to a good discussion about providing economic soundness to some of the decisions made in light of the overall goal, which I do respect.
Well,
Senator Dibble.
Well, Madam Chair, I think the bill that we had the other day that allowed us, causing residential customers to pick up the freight for the high energy users. We're going to be shifting costs to residential customers. I think this bill is going to also create more costs that we don't need to create for the customer classes of all sorts. Electricity is really, really cheap right now because we have a lot of excess capacity and the economy has declined. And even at as cheap as electricity is, we can cost effectively save, by putting tools into the hands of particularly residential customers, but even business customers, and come out at far less by a factor of a third or less. The economic effort that we make to save the amount of energy that we save is far, far less than even electricity as cheap as it is today. So it just doesn't make any economic sense to me. I think we're doing a couple of things here that are going to drive higher energy prices for customers that I think we'll regret. Madam Chair, Senator Benson.
Senator Dibble, I actually think, and I do want to thank you for coming to the stakeholder meetings that we had on the Conservation Improvement Program. And those, as Senator Benson said, will continue and to work on it, not necessarily to get to where the House is at, but to make sure that the program works for everybody. And I do respectfully agree with Senator Benson that this is something that is immediate and is something that we can give to those high residential co-ops and munis that are struggling with the program. We want to make this program work and to continue to work because there's a lot of pressure from outside to blow things like this up. But I think it has served the state well, served our environment well, and we should continue forward. Does anybody in the audience like to speak for or against the bill? Senator Dibble, you good? Everybody? Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move Senate File 1313 as part of the omnibus bill at the Chair's discretion.
Yes, Senator Benson moves that Senate File 1313 be recommended to pass and laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye. Senator Dibble.
Sorry. Different chairs handle the layovers differently. Some just lay them over and we don't say anything, others to actually take the vote. So if we're going to vote, Madam Chair, I'd like to request a roll call vote simply to be sure that I'm recorded as voting no on this.
Okay. Roll call has been requested, or roll call will be taken. The assistant will take the roll.
Senator Rosen?
Yes.
Senator Benson?
Yes.
Senator Brown?
Yes.
Senator Dibble?
No.
Senator Howe? Senator Jungbauer?
Yes.
Senator Koch? Senator Kubley?
Yes.
Senator Magnus?
Yes.
Senator McGuire?
No.
Senator Metzen? Senator Sparks? Senator Stumpf?
Yes.
Senator Vandeveer?
He's taking out the people. Yes.
We have a few things going on today. Imagine that. There will be 6 ayes and 2 noes. The bill does pass. Thank you, Senator Benson. And Senator Jungbauer, would you please?
Oh,
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen, which,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Which bill will you be?
We will be doing Senate File 1205, which is the Renewable Development Fund Temporary Freeze. If you remember, back in, I believe it was February, members, we had a very good hearing on the Renewable Development Fund, and there was, and it was basically a response to the Office of Legislative Auditor's report on how the fund was set up. This bill is going to temporarily freeze these funds from enactment to July 1st of 2012. And it does not prohibit the RDF board from evaluating the proposals, and it would not impact the expenditures that have already been approved by the commission. So my hope with this bill and these measures today is that we figure out exactly how this fund should move forward. And there is a tremendous amount of money that has been expended here towards to the cause of renewable energy electric generation. But there's also been some, as the report has mentioned, some flaws in the system. And I think we could better utilize those dollars going forward. And I believe it's over for the life of this dry cast storage fund balance is close to $500 million. And is that correct, Senator? Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of money. So this bill basically does freeze it. And however, for the IRE appropriation, we are allowing the in current statutes right now, they were supposed to get $5 million for 2011 and 2012. We are saying that the $5 million from the RDF account is okay. It can move forward. So, like I said, we were responding to the OLA report, and I think what we found in that report is that there's the process of granting the use of the funds has drifted quite a bit from the task of the XL Energy overseeing the fund and evaluating the grant request and then receiving the final authorization from the PUC. And also the legislature has gotten involved in appropriating these projects through the Department of Commerce or the Division of Energy Resources. We also found in the report that the XL ratepayers who are paying for this have not adequately been involved in the project selection or the oversight. And we're a little concerned, as the report said, that the return on investment to the taxpayers has been a little bit not well-defined and very questionable, because a lot of early-stage R&D has been invested and not the late-stage development, which would be the the impetus for technologies to move forward and assist in this, in the defined definition of the renewable electric generation. So going forward, I think we should ensure that the ratepayers' investment into the projects that are yielding benefits to Minnesota and to our environment are well taken care of. So my hope for this fund is that we step back, we have interim meetings, and we figure out who the partners are going to be, who else should be a part of this, what kind of projects should we be going for under the defined definition of this Renewable Development Fund. And it is defined very well. And we just step back and say, okay, we have a big responsibility with this $500 million. How are we going to use it correctly? Because as you remember, in those findings, there was a lot of money going out of state, and I think that's what Senator Metzen was the most upset about, and those early stage investments. And Mr. Chair, I have the A7 amendment.
Senator Rosen,
I'd like to move.
Did you want to move the A5 amendment first? Did you have the A5 amendment?
I guess I have the A5 amendment, which I don't have in front of me. I'm sorry.
I think the A5 amendment fixes what you were talking about already, some of the things. So that's a technical amendment to make sure that we were paying the payments on the issues you were talking about.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I'd like to move the A5 amendment, which basically is clarifying the payments for expenditures approved by the commission are not prohibited. So that would be on page 3, line 20.
And that's basically an author's amendment on the?
Yes, that's my amendment.
Member Senator Rosen moves the A5 as an author's amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The A5 amendment passes. So now we're looking at Senate File 1205 as amended.
Okay. Any questions that I can answer for any of the committee?
Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So, Senator Rosen, we discussed earlier the fact that there are some proposals, and I think Senator Brown also has this interest as well. There's some proposals out there that that are being shaped up for this cycle, for this fourth cycle of grants that relate to schools, and in one instance, I'm aware of a nonprofit housing development that are applying for grants with a set of dollars that have been set aside specifically for this purpose, put solar arrays on them, public schools and some nonprofit agencies, this nonprofit housing development. And so that's why I prepared the A7 amendment, to discuss the possibility of perhaps allowing those grants to proceed, and wanted to see how you felt about that, Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Senator Dibble, Mr. Chair. We did have a very good discussion, and Senator Brown does have an amendment for $955,000 out of the RDF fund for a particular solar program in a site in his district. And my preference would be not to adjust this at this time, because I would like to get a list of the programs or the grants that have been proposed for this cycle 4 and take a look at them, tighten them up, make sure that if there is an amendment that we would do on the floor to make sure that those dollars that are let out for cycle 4 or approved would fit under that definition of the RDF goal. And so I have had this conversation with Senator Brown and Senator Dibble, and I've given my word that if we can make sure that those programs fit within the definition, and then they do get approved by the PUC, by the board first and then by the PUC, then I think that's something that we should amend on the floor, because I would like to take this bill to the floor. So, Senator Dibble, is that fine with you? Okay.
Senator Dibble.
Thanks. Thanks, and I appreciate that, Mr. Chair, Senator Rosen. And so to that end, we'll keep talking as we move to the floor.
If it would be okay to, Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
If Senator Brown could explain why it's important for this solar program to occur.
Senator Brown. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rosen, thank you. The Becker School District for their middle school had a geothermal heating system installed when the school was built. The wells for the geothermal were not dug deep enough because they hit granite. And ever since then, trying to heat the school, when it gets cold in the winter, they're not able to heat it adequately, and they would like to install solar panels to get the geothermal to heat the way it should. And they've spent a fair amount of money through this grant process so far, and I would like to see that continue. But it's going to be almost $1 million cost to them to bring this up to speed, and that's why they've applied to the RDF fund for this purpose. And they also, should they get the solar panels, they want to incorporate that into their science programs for middle and senior high to educate students on the benefits of solar heating. So to me, it makes sense, and it goes to the, I think, the original intent of what the RDF funds were for. So, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair and Senator Brown, has the school district gone as far as to shop for solar panels and have gotten expert opinions?
They have, and they've actually, the $955,000 is a quote on for the shopping they've done on what it would take to meet their needs for this. Other Questions, members? Senator McGuire.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. As I'm reading this, the bill says that it suspends approval of funds. Does that mean that it suspends any funds, or it just suspends the approval of the funds? The funds can't be expended now without the PUC approval, or I'm wondering if you could just clarify.
You Senator are Rosen. Talking about Mr. Chair and Senator McGuire. May not approve expenditures on. Are you talking about line page 3, line?
Yeah, it says
15.
Yeah, 15
may not
15.
Approve expenditures,
right.
But they can still look at the programs, but they cannot approve them.
Okay, so that means, Mr. Chair, that means that nothing can be spent from the RDA then. Without that, because they have to approve them if they're going to be
that's right
spent.
Maybe Mr. Fuller could further explain.
Mr. Chair, Senator McGuire, if you look at page 2, line 4 of the bill, under current law, the current law is very ambiguous in a lot of ways, and one of the ways is how funds can be expended, because there's several ways that they have been expended. One is through this grant process, where it's clear the law intended for those expenditures to be approved by the commission. There's other expenditures, such as for the REPI payments contained in this same section and for the IRE, and the legislature has appropriated some money for which the commission actually does approve the expenditures in a sense of accounting-wise. So what this bill does is makes it explicit that the PUC only approves expenditures from the grant-making process, some of which are underway now. And the bill makes it very clear that projects previously approved before the freeze can still receive the expenditures. No new projects can be approved in this interim for which expenditures can be made. And it's only this grant process we're talking about.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator McGuire, so that does protect the REPI and the solar rebate program. And as you can see, we did continue on with the IRE dollars in the bill, the $5 million. So. Thank you for that clarification, Mr. Fuller.
Well, Senator Rosen, I have a question. I guess I've, along with other senators here, we've looked at a number of projects that we think are good candidates and do meet the RDF requirements as originally intended. And so I struggle with putting it out, but I'm fine as we clarify this. I just think and want to get your input for those folks that want to come and apply for the funds. Do you think in the interim, and that we'll have some answers early in the session next year so that those folks would be able to get in line and after this the suspension is removed, that we could be funding some of those projects that are mm-hmm. online that would make good sense and have a payback for customers? Do you think?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And obviously the bill is not blowing up the RDF fund.
Yes.
And we're not doing anything about that. We're just taking a step back and saying, okay, let's look at that definition again. Let's make sure that we have the grant making process thorough and we have the proper process or proper go ahead with this. So I would encourage anybody to continue applying for these grants and thinking of, but we want to make sure that we pull this in a little bit because it has gotten very, very loose and make sure that the dollars that are spent from the XL ratepayers are being used wisely and for the intention of this bill too, or for the original bill.
And Senator Rosen.
Mr. Chair. So my hope is to have the stakeholder groups going fairly quickly. The Legislative Energy Commission will be working on this also, and then we'll have stakeholder groups and working with the PUC, the RDF board, to move forward.
Thank you. Senator Rosen, do you envision perhaps any field trips? Some members have gone out and looked at different projects just to kind of vision how they fit in and for fine-tuning the RDF. Do you envision the committee going out and looking at some of these so we can fine-tune our thought processes?
Mr. Chair, we love field trips.
Great. Other questions, members? If not, Senator
with that,
Rosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I move that Senate File 1205 be recommended, pass as amended, and sent straight to the floor.
Senator Rosen moves that Senate File 1205, as amended, be recommended to pass and move straight to the Senate floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. Senate File 1205.
Thank you,
forward to the
Mr.
floor.
Chair and members.
Okay, members, we are going to work on our omnibus bill right now, and we're going to work on it to put a combination of bills that we have heard and voted on through this last committee hearings. So we will probably start with Senate File 1313, Senator Benson's, that you just heard, and that's the Conservation Improvement Program modification. And any discussion on that? Any further questions? Anybody like to testify on that? Okay. Then I'd like to move that Senate File 1313 be as amended, be recommended to pass and moved into the Senate File 1197. Is that correct? Proper? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay?
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Okay. Senate File 1195 is the where it was the, well, at that time was the Office of Energy Security. Now it's the Division of Energy Resources technical bills and some of their department bills. So 1195 was the cold weather rule data storage. And is there any questions about that bill? If you'd like, members, I could go through and refresh your memory about this one. It collects and maintains the cold weather disconnect data from the regulated investor-owned utilities. And that's what it does right now, currently. It collects this. And we're just saying that they don't need to do this anymore because there have been no requests for this data to be collected and maintained by the Department of Commerce. So it's basically removing the requirement that the Department of Commerce collect and maintain this data, and it's basically eliminating administrative process. Any questions on that? All right, I move that Senate File 1195 be recommended to pass and moved into the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Okay, I also would like to move Senate File 1196, and that was another department bill. That's the transmission lines interconnect language. Clarifies that the owners of the wind farms with transmission interconnect do not have to file transmission plans, and the exemption applies to high voltage line with capacity of 200 kilovolts or more or less than 1,500 feet in length, and any high voltage line with a capacity of 100 kilovolts or more with less than 10 miles of its length in Minnesota, and that does not cross a state line. So that this modification eliminates the need for 9 IPP wind farms to participate in transmission planning. Like I said, this is a department bill. Is there any questions on that one? Okay. I move that Senate File 1196 be recommended to pass and moved it to the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. So Senate File 1195 is Senator Jungbauer's bill, and that was the Public Utilities Commission's technical bill. And it dealt with the charitable contributions modifications.
1198.
Excuse me, 1195. 1198, excuse me. Oops. I'm going to have to flog him afterwards. That's okay. Poor guy's having a rough day. It's all good. Okay. Any questions on the 1198? I move that Senate File 1198 be recommended pass and move into the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay. Motion prevails. And we have Senate File 1093, which is Senator Benson's bill, and that's Renewable Energy Study, which is the rate impact study to comply with the Renewable Energy Standard. And that was the bill that we just heard last week, members. Senator DeVos.
And Madam Chair, I had some thoughts about that and offered some amendments that I withheld. So, again, hope to have the opportunity before we have a final vote on this bill, either here on the floor, to have more discussion and maybe get some of those ideas fully considered.
Absolutely. Senator Benson.
Madam Chair, when do you anticipate this moving to the floor?
When?
Mm-hmm.
Senator Koch.
I'm just trying to respectfully try to
We can be flexible if
okay.
the work
nice.
Is done.
So okay.
You've got
Thank you.
There's time, certainly.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank
okay.
you, Senator Benson.
And that's good that if there is still some issues, let's try to get them worked out. And after all, after this omnibus bill, we're going to have the department come up too and give their opinion on this too also. So I move that Senate File 1093, as amended, be recommended, pass and fold into the omnibus bill. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. And we have Senate File 548. Another Senator Benson, you've been busy. The multi-year rate case option. And was that amended? That was amended, okay. And any questions on that one, multi-year rate case?
I'm sure. Does this move as a standalone?
This is a standalone. It passed the floor 57 to 0. We've been asked to put it into our bill,
okay.
which is fine.
Dual track.
Yep. We're dual tracking this one. That's right. All those in I move that Senate File 548 be recommended to pass as amended. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. We have Senate File 817, another Senator Benson bill. And that is the cost of service and inverted block rates elimination. And we heard this on April 26th. Any questions on that bill? Senator Dibble.
I already gave
You're
my speech.
Looking at
on
me.
That. I gave my speech on this in an earlier speech today.
Okay. And I think that is something, too, perhaps the conversation will continue, Senator Benson. Thank you. So I move that Senate File 817 be recommended to pass. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
No. It prevails. So we have a bill. I think that's about it.
Madam Chair, could you go through the bill numbers again, please?
Sure.
Just so we're aware.
Absolutely.
And agreement on what everything is.
Senator Magnus, we started off, we have Senate File 1197 as a vehicle bill, and that is the bill for weatherization assistance program. It's a department bill.
Yeah.
It has all that.
Yeah.
Senate File 1313 is Senator Benson's, the SIP modifications bill we just heard. Senate File 1195 is my department, the Division of Energy Resources, cold weather rule data storage. We're eliminating it for munis. And then the Senate File 1196 is the transmission lines interconnect language, another department bill. Senate File 1198 is Senator Jungbauer's, the PUC technical bill for a charitable contributions modification. Senate File 1093 is Senator Benson's renewable energy study. And Senate File 548 is Senator Benson's multi-year rate case option, dual track. And Senate File 817 is Senator Benson's the cost of service and inverted block rates elimination. Are there any questions from the committee on our omnibus bill? Is there anybody that would like to testify for or against this omnibus bill? something once, maybe twice. Y'all like it? It's kind of boring compared to the House, I think. Huh? Y'all falling asleep on me. What's the deal?
Like boring.
Okay. Well, then I guess I'm going to make a motion that Senate File 1197, as amended, be recommended pass and sent to the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, members. Now we have somebody. Is he coming? Oh, okay. We have Senator Ingebrigtsen's 1292, which is the drill domestic oil resolution, and he is voting in judiciary at this moment.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Bill.
We give this bill a title.
Excuse me?
We give this bill a title, amendment
drill
baby
drill. Yeah, that's right. That's yeah. Yeah, Peter brought that in and went, hmm.
Might just make that motion.
Well, anybody else have anything concerned? Members were trying to figure out what to do.
Oh my God.
Members were trying to find out who's on this resolution, so and then they could present the bill. Hang tight with us. Oops, they're leaving. I'm losing. They're flocking away. We do have our conference committee on the finance bill for environment, commerce, and energy tomorrow morning. So we'll be working on that.
What time, Madam Chair?
8:30. Room 15.
Room 15.
8:30 at room 15. Well, anybody want to talk about this? We have an author. He's coming. Elvis is in the house.
Yay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Brown.
Did you want comments on this resolution? Or
excuse me?
Did you want comments on this resolution?
Sure.
Well,
sure.
You know, I'm encouraged by it. I find it interesting that the Obama administration is asking the Middle East to produce more and Brazil to produce more, but yet we aren't willing to produce more in our own country. So I would think we need to put our barrels where our mouth is and produce more in our own country.
Senator Ingebrigtsen, you're up. Heck, you've got a full house and full audience.
I do. Good.
Thank you, Senator Brown. That's a
Sheriff.
You have Senate File 1292, Drill Baby Drill.
Thank you. There it is, Drill Baby Drill.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. And does that, boy, I'm getting a lot of, must be a lot of energy in this room.
Yeah. Whatever.
A lot of comments about this resolution. And members, just to understand a little bit as to why I brought it forward, I don't think I'm going to be alone in myself saying that our constituents out there, if we've been reading our emails or, well, quite frankly, if we've been eating and breathing and just living at all, we're certainly hearing about, and every time we turn around the corner, we're seeing the price of gas in this state of ours. And being around here for 4 or 5 years, I also get a lot of constituent contact that refer to federal legislation. I mean, we've all been there and done that. And you kind of feel sometimes like, boy, it's really tough to always slough our stuff off on the feds, even though we have to do that at times. And frankly, I had a constituent say, you know, we're really sick and tired of hearing that. Let's do something about it. And what are you going to do about it, Senator? So I thought to myself, this came from nobody else other than me, by the way, Madam Chair and members, that we send resolutions off to Congress recognizing different events and doing this and doing that and encouraging them to do things over the years. And in fact, I actually did a search when I came back from that particular weekend with my constituency, and I thought somebody would have by now come up with maybe a resolution saying something like this, and I would be one to sign on to it as a co-author and at least be able to tell my folks that we in the legislature are concerned about the price of oil, the price at the pump. I guess that's where the rubber meets the road, and that we at least tried to do something. I don't think this is partisan. I don't think it's at least I hope it's not, but it's just taking our economy that I think we all will agree was probably rebounding a little bit. In fact, I know it is. We actually got some extra dollars. Gee, I hope I can say this. Some extra dollars in the coffers when it comes to revenues the first quarter, and I know for sure sales tax revenues are up because I'm in the process of doling that out in my Heritage Committee as we speak, so I know we're doing a little better. And all of a sudden now we're to the point where gas is costing an awful lot of money, and it's creating a real hindrance, and it's not taking us to its knees, but it's real close, Madam Chair and members. So this resolution, and I think you have maybe before you the original one. I do have a delete.
Right. We have
delete all one.
We have the A1.
I would like to offer that, and basically it's pretty straightforward. Just asking the Secretary of State and the State of Minnesota as directed, to the President as well, and the Speaker and the Clerk and all those folks in the energy business, that we start looking at our own resources in the United States, as well as also I think Canada is included in this, without having to be relying on the folks that our president and our Congress talks about doesn't like us very well. So it just seems to make sense to me that we send a strong message from Minnesota, and I think I'd be surprised if everybody in the room doesn't agree with that, that we have to start doing something, and we have to, certainly we're doing the wind, we're doing ethanol, we're doing solar. Those are all pieces of the pie when it comes to alternative energy. In fact, we put standards on our coal-burning industry back in 2007 that sent a strong message to them that we need some alternative sources of energy. However, it doesn't seem like we're ever going to be able to go without gasoline in our car. And so with that, members, I would ask that you join me, and we do this resolution. And I'm not looking for anything other than just to be able to say we've done something that we can do here at the state, and we would like to see our own resources, and our own resources now that are getting pretty exciting, quite frankly, to the west. Our state to the west is North Dakota is there's oil there that unbelievable amounts of oil that supposedly will take our country through several decades, and I see really no reason why we can't start moving in that direction to start using our own stuff. So with that, I'll stand for any questions or any concerns, and if somebody wants to work with the bill, I'd be more than happy to do that, but I would like to offer that as the A1 amendment.
Great. Thank you. Senator Brown moves the A1 amendment. Any questions on the A1 amendment? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Adopted. Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen. Thank you for bringing this up.
Thank you very much.
Do we have to vote on the bill? Do we have to vote on? I wanted to comment on
the
bill.
It was just on the amendment.
Oh, okay.
Just on the amendment. We adopted that. Now we can have comments. And I believe if there's some testifiers, too.
Oh, great.
So, Senator McGuire?
Well, if we have testifiers, Madam Chair.
Well, we're not sure, so we'll go ahead.
I just have a few.
I do have one, yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll wait for the testifiers, and then I'll make some comments.
All right,
thank you, Madam Chair.
You might have been actually out in the hallway looking for me, running between meetings here, so.
Thank you, Mr. Larson,
for
babysitting.
Bill authors can be slippery this time of the year.
Yeah.
Madam Chair and members, Dan Larson today representing the American Petroleum Institute. So here to support and thank Representative Ingebrigtsen for bringing up Senate File 1292 and the resolution memorializing Congress and the President to speedily enact legislation that promotes and removes restrictions to domestic oil drilling and access to Canadian oil sands. In these difficult times when with the national unemployment rate at 9% and holding, with too much of our energy needs coming from foreign and often hostile sources, increasingly hostile sources, and with our national psyche as fragile as it has been in generations, this is a good message to send to Congress and to the President. It's a message that promotes jobs, would improve the economy, and reduce our reliance on foreign oil. So with that, Madam Chair and members, I'm here to support the resolution. Thank Senator Ingebrigtsen for bringing it forward, and I'm open for any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Larson? Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Larson or Senator Ingebrigtsen, do we know what our oil reserves are in this country and how with our current usage of oil, how long those oil reserves would last? Like, if we used all of our oil reserves in the United States and Canada, how long it would take with our current usage?
Mr. Larson.
Madam Chair, members, normally you'd have somebody that's been in the business a little longer than I have, and I'm going to have to apologize. I've been at this about 4 months. So I'm not going to get very deep. I apologize, Senator. I don't know. But we do know that there are significant reserves in various parts that are domestically held in the Gulf and on the North Slope and in other places.
Senator McGuire.
Senator Ingebrigtsen had a comment.
Madam Chair.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do know that, you know, I can give you a comparison of what the price of per barrel has increased. Now, these are approximately what just recently we've experienced here in January 2011 was about $90 a barrel. In April, it was $112, and it's projected to increase to $150 by June 2011. So we're sitting at $4, well, roughly $4 or a little bit less per gallon when we make our stops going in to get our coffee in the morning on the way to work. And again, there's nothing more that's in our face all the time than gas prices. They're doing such a good job of putting those things up. Pretty soon, I suspect that they probably won't put them up. They'll just leave them off of there because they'll scare away business. That's almost to that point. And if you recall, and why it's bipartisan, I think, that during the last presidential election, you had Senator McCain and Senator, at that time, Senator Obama running against each other for the highest position in the nation, and both of them were proclaiming that they were going to drill, baby, drill. That's, in fact, where the term came from. And I do remember when that election was going on very clearly that all of a sudden our gas prices plummeted at the pump. And I don't know that it's as simple as that. I mean, we're talking about the president's now looking at doing something different with regards to the markets. I'm still not convinced that's the way to go. That's neither here nor there. At least he's doing something. He's making it an awareness of it, nothing else. But I do remember that when that happened, obviously the prices came down, and obviously it would be less apt for us to drill when the dollars at the pump are down there. They're not going to get that public sentiment, that public pressure that I'm sure they're hearing now. And if they're not hearing it, this is a strong message from Minnesota that we can tell them we need to do something and drill just off our shores. Again, I'm not any worse qualified to tell you why we're going down a mile in the water before we start drilling out in the ocean. You know, we can lay the blame on this and that. I think we have to get over that lame blame game and start using our own resources, and that's what this is pertaining to. So I would ask for your support.
Yeah. Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a follow-up question on that. So do you know that prices would actually go down by us drilling for oil? My understanding, I have information that it's really expensive to drill for the oil that we have. We've already gotten the easy oil, and that we have hard oil to get to, and it's going to not actually reduce our prices, but our prices would stay the same, if not go up, with the oil reserves that we have in this country. Do you know?
Madam Chair, if I might just give a stab at it, I'll just give you another thing that my constituents say with regards to energy policy. You know, we've heard this is with the nuclear. Now, I've got this nuclear expert sitting at the table here, but I'm not going to get into the deep water on that. But gee whiz, it's going to take us 10 years because we can't get a plant built in 10 years. Well, now we've been talking about that for at least 5 years that I've been here. Frankly, if we would have moved forward 5 years ago, if in fact it takes 10 years, we'd be just getting pretty close to start putting our own nuclear power online. It's really no different than allowing the loosening up the regulations, and loosening up the regulations, I say, by not obviously making sure we don't pollute our environment doing it, moving forward with some more refineries in this country. And I think, yes, it would be my opinion, and I don't know if you could find anybody that would argue with it, that if we're drilling our own oil versus going overseas for oil, I think it would be certainly a lot cheaper. That's just my uneducated guess.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a couple of other comments. If there's anyone else that wants to speak, though, I have a couple of other things.
I have on my list Lois Norgard, if she's available. Thank you, Mr. Larson. You want to save your comments towards the end?
I can save my comments. Yes, yeah, Madam Chair.
Welcome, Ms. Norgard.
Yeah, thank you.
Please state your name, Chair, for the record.
I am Lois Norgard. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. I work in the Upper Midwest for the Alaska Wilderness League out of the Minnesota office. I actually work, our main office is in Washington, D.C. and in Anchorage, Alaska. And I work here in this region for protecting special lands in Alaska. Primarily, I also coordinate what's known as the Alaska Coalition of Minnesota. And there's about a 45-member strong coalition here made up of conservation organizations, hunting, fishing organizations, sporting, business, and faith groups. So I'm here to testify on Senate File 1292, the resolution encouraging domestic oil production. And the reason I'm here is I question the need for this resolution, such as this at the state level, because of some of the facts behind oil production here. In fact, oil production is on the increase in the U.S. right now. The Oil and Gas Journal reports that there's been a 51% increase in oil development in the U.S. in the first quarter of 2011. This increase has not helped gas prices at the pump. It has not helped consumers, but there is an increase going on. More importantly, the Energy Information Administration, the EIA, has shown that in the U.S. within the last 3 years, we have reduced our need for oil, reduced consumption of oil by 11.3 billion barrels. And this is just the citizens of the U.S. being more conservative and more efficient in how they use oil in their choices, everyday life choices. This is without any political leadership really putting any effort towards this. This is people just doing this on their own. So we don't have the policies in place. And if we would have true leadership within our political leaders, elected leaders, encouraging further steps to clean energy and energy conservation and efficiency, there's no telling how much we could save. But this is in 3 years. People have done perfectly easy choices, being more efficient with oil consumption. 11.3 billion barrels have been saved. Oil prices are based on the global market. Increases in U.S. production have little or no impact to world oil prices, or the price that we would pay for a barrel of oil. The Energy Information Administration, again, says that OPEC could neutralize any potential price impacts by increased U.S. production. So they would neutralize any kind of help that might come at the pump. But I do want to again mention we have an increase already going on, and the price of gas is also increasing. The citizens of the U.S. are paying for gas not only at the pump but in many other ways. And part of those are some of the impacts that you see with the dangerous business that oil drilling brings. The Gulf Deepwater Horizon spill that just happened, the Exxon Valdez that happened. We don't know what impacts going forward we're going to still see from that Gulf spill. But that impacted a lot of economics there in the Gulf as far as the fisheries, the local tourism industry. The Exxon Valdez in Alaska, 22 years later, as of last month, that spill, we're still finding oil on the beaches. The fisheries have not recovered, so there's still an impact to the downside of oil development that we need to be very seriously taking into account. The real solution to the country's oil addiction is actually efficiency and renewable technologies. I know the senator mentioned that we do have quite a few of them moving forward in Minnesota. Our nation consumes about 25% of the world's oil resources. We only have 3% of the resources anywhere under our soils, including in the Gulf, including in the north coast of Alaska, including in North Dakota. There's no way we'll ever be able to drill our way to energy independence or to lower gas prices at the pump for the citizens of the country. Drilling for more in America's special places, what are left to drill, our public lands, the legacy that we have, will do nothing to lower gas prices. Instead, drilling will only serve to boost oil industry's profits. Right now, as of, I think it was this morning, Shell Oil just announced record profits again for this quarter, $7 billion that they've just made. So really, which according to the latest quarterly reports, they're already doing well above the profits that they need, 50% over last year. American public has made it clear that they're looking for real solutions to our energy prices, to high gas prices, to all of the energy use we use in this country. Yet our elected leaders are focusing on the same failed solutions that we've had in the past, such as giving oil companies big subsidies, taxpayer subsidies nonetheless, sacrificing more of our nation's public land legacy to the oil development. So I just want to suggest that the committee oppose SF 1292 with all due respect and instead help to move Minnesota and the country towards the clean, renewable energy technologies that we can see coming on the horizon. With that, thank you very much. I do have a couple pieces I'd like to leave with the committee for the record. Just this morning in the Star Tribune, there's a counterpoint by geologist Rolf Westgaard. So I've got copies of that article that I'd like to leave with you as well. And there's a chart that shows the energy savings, the 11.3 billion barrels of savings we've done in the last 3 years through conservation measures. I'd like to leave that with the committee, plus copies of my testimony. If there's any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Norgaard. Any questions for Ms. Norgaard? Senator Koch.
Thank you, Ms. Norgaard. I'm a little surprised to hear that we have a Minneapolis office for the Alaska Wilderness League, and I'm wondering, how do you receive, where is your funding?
We get national funding. We have a membership base, like many organizations do, so independent individuals buy memberships to our organization to help support the work that we do. We also have foundations that support the work we do. So it's a nonprofit environmental organization.
Ms. Norgaard, are there 50 other or 49 other offices?
There's not. I'm the Upper Midwest. I cover four states, so there's various field offices like myself. But I work in Minnesota, Iowa, and North and South Dakota for the league.
Thank you. Senator McGuire.
Go ahead.
Way too nice.
General question, yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Ms. Norgaard, I'm wondering, where are our oil reserves in this country? Do you know where they are? Where is most of our oil?
Ms. Norgaard.
Well, there's a lot of search out west. There is an oil reserve we've found recently, the Bakken Field in North Dakota. I know about the Gulf has oil. They do say there are other places on the Outer Continental Shelf and, of course, the north coast of Alaska, which is the place I'm most concerned about. There is oil development going on, Prudhoe Bay, Alpine, many of the fields that are there on state lands and within the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. And, of course, I just brings to mind, I want to mention, north coast of Alaska on average has 450 spills a year. This is self-reported by industry spills. So that's more than a spill a day going on regularly within the north coast of Alaska. Thank you.
And then
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a follow up. So do you know how much we have in potential reserves, that how long it would last if we continued our current usage? It's a question I've asked.
I'm so sorry. I do not know the answer to that, Senator. All I know is we do use 25% of the world reserves, world resource, and we only have about 3% under our own soils in any capacity. So we're using far more than we could ever completely develop and become energy independent with oil from our own domestic supply.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Senator Brown. Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say there is another side to oil companies doing well. I went to college in a town in Oklahoma where Phillips Petroleum was based at the time. It was a town of about 35,000 people. The fact that Phillips Petroleum was doing well allowed me to be employed as a college student, self-employed, working in the community. It allowed me to pay for my college and not be dependent on government loans. Phillips Petroleum was a big benefactor to the college to which I attended. All of this was made possible because they were doing well. So there is another side to corporations doing well. They tend to be good community citizens and benefactor to those areas in their communities. I had a sales job where I drove across North Dakota for 14 years, God forbid. And I've been to Williston and Dickinson, and the difference between what those communities look like when I first started versus what they look like now is incredible, because they're experiencing the boon, economic boon, of having oil production in the Bakken fields. So there's much economic benefit to oil production on the continent of the United States. And to address another point, if we would loosen the rules to develop on land, we wouldn't be seeing the oil spills that are oil companies like BP are being forced to go so far out into the Gulf that we're seeing now. So there is another side to that.
How in the world did you get to Oklahoma? That's a long ways from home, isn't it?
It was.
Yeah. That's another whole other story. Oklahoma. Any other questions for Ms. Norgaard? Senator Vandiver.
Not for Ms. Norgaard.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I do have one question for her, if I could.
Absolutely.
Her comment about OPEC, you ran through an awful lot of stuff. Could you give me a comment about what OPEC said about the us drilling our own oil here in the United States?
Ms. Norgaard.
Yes, thank you, Senator. I don't have any quotes directly or reports directly from OPEC themselves. The information that I have is from the EIA, Energy Information Administration, which has said that our own supply of oil here, OPEC could neutralize that by just changing their prices or releasing more or less oil. So, unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm glad you repeated that, because you kind of made my point there. We're kind of being held hostage by somebody, it seems like, and she just made that point. And Senator Brown's point of us doing things through pipelines versus going out into the ocean and having these terrible spills that we're seeing time and again on the media of the birds laying in the oil, that wouldn't happen if we had our own stuff going on here. So I think you've made that point very well as well. I will tell you that according to the Center for American Progress, we are right now spending about $1 billion a day overseas on oil instead of investing the funds in our own country. So I appreciate the comments Senator Brown has brought forth here. And if there was another subsidies. Subsidies is always an issue. Do we subsidize ethanol anymore? There's a lot of discussion we shouldn't. Do we subsidize anything if it's a successful part of our economy? Maybe we shouldn't be subsidizing oil. But our hunger and our thirst for it obviously has driven that, and that's something else that Congress should be looking at. Maybe I should add that into this thing as well. No more subsidies to the oil. The bottom line is we need to start doing and taking care of our own. And I think the Bakken field, for one, is certainly an exciting thing for North Dakota, but it should be an exciting thing for the United States. And now I didn't talk at all about Alaska. I mean, there's always been talk about that. That's been politicized, I think, a little bit. But again, putting it's not the first time that this country's ever ran oil or water or anything else through pipes, natural gas, whatever you want. It certainly has worked, and we're doing 11 billion barrels worth of conservation now than we weren't in the past. Good for us. That's a wonderful thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We should be proud of that. But we also have to live. We also have to be able to go places. We have to buy commerce. We have to get commerce brought to us. And the more it's going to cost, soon we're not going to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor. And if we don't pay attention to that pretty soon, I think we're going to be all staying at home instead of going on vacation and spending money in vacation land, Minnesota. So I think we've kind of beat the thing to death here. I would certainly appreciate this friendly reminder that we in Minnesota are paying attention. We'd like them to put politics aside and start taking care of something that affects each and every one of us in the country, and that's our oil production. And so,
Ms. Norgard.
Yeah, thank you very much for having the chance to come up and speak to the bill. I do think it's okay that companies do well, but I do think that the subsidies to oil companies is something that should be looked at, so definitely I agree with the senator on that. That's great. And I thank you very much, committee, for letting me have the chance to come speak to this.
Thank you, Senator. Senator McGuire.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Vanderveer, I actually agree with many parts of your resolution. I really hope that I would.
I'm sorry, you agree with Senator Vanderveer?
with Senator Engelbert.
Okay, now.
Well,
now
we
got issues.
I disagree with Senator Vanderveer, but I do agree with Senator Engelbert.
Now we have issues.
Yeah.
No rookie hazing, Senator Engelbert.
No, we have to have some fun.
Yeah.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Cooley.
Yeah, Senator Engelbert, I guess. I'm kind of glad you guys got the majority ones here, so we know Senator Vanderveer's green button works.
Senator,
the jury's still out on that.
That is certainly something.
Well, he could have gone all day without
but
that.
You know what?
Senator
Vanderveer's point pushing red got him here, too.
Right. Is there some message?
Senator Vanderveer.
Got a target.
Senator McGuire. Do I still have the floor? Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Engelbretson, I agree with many parts of your resolution. Actually, I agree that we should try to, that we should absolutely reduce our reliance on foreign oil. And we should probably use our own resources. And we I totally support job creation and all of those things. And so I'm concerned that this is a short-term solution, though. Because the numbers that I have, and I would really welcome any numbers that anybody can produce, but the numbers that I have says that if we use all of the oil that we potentially have in our reach, that we'll only go for 3 years. I mean, our kids, grandkids, I mean, nobody's going to see the energy benefits of the oil that we have in this country. We'll use it all up, and we'll be done in 3 years if we continue with our same usage. And so I'm concerned about the future. I'm concerned from about 3 years from now when, if we use all our oil reserves, what are we going to do then? And so I was, you know, hoping maybe we could add some provisions to this resolution that says how we're going to continue to reduce our energy consumption, that we're going to continue to work on energy conservation and efficiency, and that we would put people to work working on our alternative energy policies, you know, working on wind and solar and the different different alternative energy uses. And so I would be willing to work with you on getting some further provisions in this resolution. But I'm worried of what's going to happen 3 years from now after we've used all of our oil reserves.
Oh, Senator Vanderveer. Or Senator Koch, to that point?
Well, yeah, I just thought, Madam Chair, it'd be interesting to see, Senator McGuire, where your information is coming from. Obviously, I've heard that number seems surprising.
Just,
so where is that quoting from?
U.S. Energy Information Administration. If we use all of our oil reserves
and cover about 3 years of U.S. demand. The U.S. consumed 6.18 billion barrels of finished petroleum produce last year, and it means if we used all of our oil reserves and cover, we would have about 3 years of U.S. demand.
Senator Coker.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, I welcome other numbers. I've been asking the question, so I just hope that we can get the right numbers.
That would be interesting to know. I don't know if they're talking about our domestic, our national reserves, if they're talking about the Bakken fields. I mean, what exactly is encompassed in that? But
yeah, I mean, that's what I've been asking, sort of where let's get those numbers. But I do believe that we don't have an unlimited supply, whatever we have. It's not unlimited, and so we continue to need to look to the future. That this is, you know, not an answer to our energy concerns is domestic drilling. Our answer is in other alternatives, and in conservation, I think.
So, and Senator McGuire, you are a fan of the biofuels, the ethanol, and biodiesel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Okay, mm-hmm. Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The 3 years sounds a little bit. That sounds hard to believe. You might want to check that.
I mean,
that.
Well, let's get some good numbers here.
I know in my lifetime there have been two major economic upheavals that I remember, and both appear to be energy related. One was the 1970s when we had what was known as the Middle East oil embargo, and they told us then that we only had enough oil for 10 years, and that was, again, 40, 50 years ago. But the second time was when gas hit $4 a gallon, and I think that's when we kind of started getting into the economic mess we're in today. So regardless of where we get it, I think we need multiple sources of energy, and I think this resolution addresses that, and I think it's a good one for that reason. Because, you know, I think part of our economic doldrums is self-induced, because we artificially restrict our own ability to, in our economy, to search for, develop, and transport energy. And I think this addresses that. So I think it's a good proposal, and I support it.
Thank you, Senator Vander. Any other questions, comments? Senator Ingebrigtsen?
Madam Chair, thank you very much, and I would.
Absolutely. We had a very good discussion. Appreciate that. Thank you, members.
Madam Chair, do you need a motion on this?
I sure do.
I'll be green on this, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
But I would make the motion then.
Would you? Okay, thank you. Senator Koch moves that Senate File 1292, as amended, be recommended to pass and sent to the Rules Committee. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
No.
Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And the Rules Committee, we will attempt to have some better numbers together.
Yeah.
For that, and I'm certainly willing to work with Senator McGuire. So
thank you.
So, members, we will be continuing to meet. We have more work next week, so we'll meet. I'm not sure quite what we're going to do on Tuesday, but we have a list of bills. So, just stay tuned. And with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.